after baptizing someone, one of the last ceremonies is to anoint their ears and then their mouth so that they can hear the word of God and say it. So while it's a symbolic gesture, opening the ear is to open the ear of the heart and to open the mouth that comes from the heart. We do this with the baptism of every child. And we use this ephata. This is the text we use because, you see, the man couldn't hear and he couldn't speak well. Now, that can't happen to us spiritually. We don't hear. And then we've got nothing to say. And so there's this rhythm here. I did think, though, that the Lord wanted us to reflect. I'd love to go through that. This is the healing of a deaf man. A little while we'll have the healing of a blind man in chapter 8. And right after the healing of the blind man, the very next thing is the enlightenment of Peter. He makes his confession, "You are the Christ." So this is the way St. Mark is trying to teach us that these things move on two levels. You just heard the beginning of the end. Rehoboam continued the oppressive policies of his father, Solomon, and increased them. And the people got discouraged and angry. They weren't being cared for. The king is supposed to be caring for his people and not enlisting them all in his building projects and in this and that and not caring for them. And so they're disappointed. And the facts are not that clear because the Greek translation of the Bible at this point has a slightly different account. But whatever happened, and this prophet here, Ahijah, gives him 10 pieces of the 12 and says, "Go. You will take 10, but I'm leaving one tribe along with Judah with my servant David and his successors." Now, how did this happen? Sin. You see, repentance doesn't just get me off the hook. It stops all the evil that my sin sets loose in this world. We've forgotten about that. I've given you this story 100 times, but here's a girl, she's 14, she gets pregnant. Her boyfriend says, "Get an abortion." Her parents say, "Get an abortion." The school counselor says, "Get an abortion." All her friends say, "Get an abortion." The pastor says, "Get an abortion." So she has an abortion. Does she commit a grave evil? Absolutely. One that will harm her and harm others. Does she commit a bad sin? How could she at 14 with all that pressure on her? But we have to be, this is it's so important biblically to get it, because this is where people get the wrong idea of compassion. Oh, let the poor kid have an abortion. And let that poor kid have an abortion that will set loose evil in her school, in her environment, in her, and look what it'll do to her. Never. But is she culpable? But the evil is set loose. That's a very biblical. That's why when we say, you know, that it's a serious matter to do X, Y, or Z, it is. It's a serious matter to miss Mass on Sunday. Provided you can get there, provided that. Why? Because we should be with God's people at least once a week, praising Him, hearing His word, receiving the body and blood of His Son. And to, now, to be a mortal sin, it has to be, you know, grave matter, and it is, objectively, but it has to be sufficient reflection and full consent of the will. But most people don't even know this. Does that mean that nothing's happening? Look at the state of the Catholic Church. Look at the state of the Catholic Church. Look at the state of the liturgies. Look at the... No. You see, and that's why sin, Solomon's sin, after all those beautiful descriptions of his wisdom, we had the other day, you remember? When Solomon was old, his wives had turned his heart to strange gods, and his heart was not entirely with the Lord his God, as the heart of his father David has been. Now, the heart of his father David, yes, but because he repented. David was a murderer and an adulterer, but he turned back to God in repentance. That's the key. Solomon didn't. So he got worse and worse. And his son got worse yet, Rehoboam. And so, Jeroboam. According to this account, see, it's a prophet who says, you're going to take it over. Well, he started to do stuff in the north, and Solomon was still alive. So he had to flee, and then he came back. But now listen, this is why this psalm is so apt. I am the Lord your God, hear my voice. We all said that, repeated that about four times, right? Now, there shall be no strange god among you, nor shall you worship any god. I am the Lord your God, who led you forth from the land of Egypt. My people heard not my voice, and Israel obeyed me not. So I gave them up to the hardness of their hearts, and they walked according to their own counsels. If only my people would hear me, and Israel would walk in my ways, quickly would I humble their enemies, and against their foes I would turn my hand. The precious jewel of repentance. As individuals, as a church, as a nation, to turn back to God. See? My people heard not my voice. That doesn't mean, what are you saying? I couldn't hear you, does it? It means they paid no attention. And we do the same, my friends. This Bible is ours. This story about Jeroboam and Rehoboam and Solomon, that's for our instruction, as Paul says in Romans, right? These were written for our instruction. The way to get the church to repent is to start yourself. But when we don't recognize evil, we get stuck in it. And when we get stuck in it, we become a source of it. And when we become a source of it, we're spreading it all over the place. I don't know now, but at one time, I heard it said more than once, here in Washington, we have 3 abortions for every 2 births. Think about that. And who's repenting? Who's stepping into the gap? And so what finally happens, and you're hearing it right now, the kingdom, the nation, split. And the 10 tribes, the northerners, they disappeared. One of the things that people expected in Israel was that when the Messiah came, he would regather the 10 tribes, the lost tribes. Where is Dan, Gad, Reuben? Where are they? They're lost. And the Lord came, and he knew that one of his goals was to gather the lost of Israel. And he did. Just pick up the book of Revelation and read chapter 7. There in heaven, from the tribe of Reuben, 144,000, from the tribe of Gad, they're being gathered in heaven. God is so merciful. He finds ways of undoing our sin. But if we could get in touch with his heart, weep for our sins, for the sins of this world, for the sins of the church, and beg him to have mercy.